Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Friday. Talking a lot of football today. College football kicks off this week. The Titans will be in action next week. But we say hello to our man Chris Sanders, who is on the line with us, ready to be the champion once again in Silly Underdog Picks. We'll see.
Hey, say that again. I mean, it just sounds so good to my ear. Could you just let the listeners hear that again?
You're ready to be the champion. The champion again.
Yes, I am. And it starts with Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has to win the stinking game. Let's go, Vanderbilt.
He picked Vanderbilt yesterday, Big Joe.
Was that the great, fun, silly underdog?
It was.
Love it.
Yes. So we'll see, Chris. We'll see. We'll see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So this is, obviously it's a tough week for coaches and GMs as they have to – you know, whittle the roster down from 90 to 53 or 91 in the Titans case to 53. And, you know, back when you were playing, it was, you kind of had it in layers and, it was be week to week to week. And then it's one swoop now, but they have their 53, at least how it stands right now. There could be some tweaks before they get things going next week, but I'll start with the wide receiver room. You know, this was a discussion we had quite a bit of. Is it six? Is it seven? Ultimately, now they go with six receivers, including Jaquan Jackson, who was a late-round draft pick out of Tulane. I was very impressed by him in training camp. He makes the team. It looks like they have a returner, and there's more of an emphasis on the return game now with the new kickoff rules. But what do you think about Jackson making the team?
I mean, I love it. I mean, I love what he does. He brings so much. He can play wide receiver, and also he can be that great returner. And I'm not saying this to say it lightly, but this reminds me of 1999. We were on our way to the Super Bowl. We had a lot of receivers in that room. We had Yancey Dickman. We had Derek Mason. We had Isaac Bird. We had Kevin Dyson. We had a lot of guys that could make plays. So when you look at the list of all these wide receivers, all these guys are capable of making plays. And then you got Jaquan Jackson that brings another element to the game, not just, being a wide receiver, but also a different element as a returner. Because now you got a situation to where last year the kickoff was kind of whack. Now you got a situation to where it can be a game-changing play to where Jaquan Jackson can actually make some plays in that situation.
Were you surprised with how the tight end room worked out? I mean, obviously you got Chig, you got Josh Wiley. Thomas Odokoya makes it, which he's been a great story. And then David Martin Robinson, the undrafted free agent from Temple.
I mean, it's wild because I didn't think they were going to keep that many tight ends. But, you just heard what Rand Carthon said. He said, I mean, these are some good players that we can't let go. So when you have the depth at the tight end position, we know Chig is going to do his thing. We don't know about Waddy because he's been injured. But when you have some quality tight ends, that can be a safety net for your quarterback. Just say if, Calvin Ridley or D-Hop, one of those guys go down, you can still insert a tight end and run a two tight end set and let those guys make plays. So, even though it's a lot of tight ends and it seems kind of wild, but these guys were so good that Rand Carthon and this staff couldn't let them go.
All right, so the guys have a few days off now before they get back to game week next week. When they say, get away from the facility, get away from football for a few days.
Yeah,
Mentally, I don't think you can get away from football, can you?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, but you got to be intentional when you do it. And this is how a lot of guys get away from the Tennessee Titans football. They go to high school games. I mean, they go on Friday. You're going to see, Simmons and different guys be at different football games to kind of get away from their stuff and focus on another team. So that's how kind of I handled it, as a focusing on running routes for my coach or, going to meetings for the Tennessee Titans or, doing all those things for my organization. The way I would separate it is I would go to a football game, go see Ravenwood, go see, Christ Presbyterian, go see NBA, go see some things that get away from the norm and focus on somebody else. That's how kind of I would handle it.
I know you do not like to talk about yourself, so let me ask you this. Your greatest high school game performance was?
It was against a team called Thomas Jefferson. And I'll never forget, we were in the state. I think it was in a playoff game. And I think I had like 10 or 11 catches for like 210. I mean, I had to make it do what it do. But, you go back to those memories. And it's funny, and I know this is kind of cliche-ish, but I think about two or three weeks ago, I got a VHS tape. And I put my VHS in there to go watch those old high school films, to watch the formations, to watch how I played, how bad I looked in my uniform. And it was just it just brings back those fun memories that in high school it was pure, and you know, you didn't have to worry about keeping a job. You didn't have to worry about NIL, worry about all that crazy stuff. All you had to do was go to class and play football. That's what I miss about high school.
I love it. All right, so you grew up in Denver, and
yes.
We've talked about this, how homesickness has ruined many athletes throughout history. When you left Denver for Columbus, Ohio to go to Ohio State, did you get homesick?
The first 15 minutes, I was homesick. I mean, it was just imagine, you know, going to a school where you have maybe 20 people in a class, and then all of a sudden you show up to your first class and there's 2,000 people in an auditorium. And I'm like, wait, I ain't signed up for this. And you go there because now you're in a situation to where you have to grow up real quick. When you look at high school, all your bills were paid. You know, mama give you lunch money. Mama tell you to go to class. But now you're in a situation to where I have to be an adult. I got to show up to class. I got to go to practice. I got so many demands on me. So the first 15 minutes of when I got there, I'm like, man, do I really want to do this? But as in getting to the norm and, you know, understanding what to do and becoming a responsible adult, then it made the transition easier.
How was the first time you met Kirk Herbstreit?
It was cool because I didn't really start talking to him at first because I really didn't know who he was. But when I really got to know Herbstreit was, we were playing the Syracuse Orangemen. And the Syracuse Orangemen, they were ranked like number 4 in the country, and we were we weren't even ranked that year. But I'll never forget, he called a team meeting. He said, guess what? We're going to go to Syracuse, and we're going to line up, and we're going to punch them in the mouth. We're looking at him like, man, who are you? we went down there, and we beat the brakes off Syracuse Orangemen. And this is where I got so much respect for Kirk Herbstreit. He couldn't throw the ball that far. He couldn't run a 40 in 6'5". But he was a winner. He was a winner. He took a team and motivated a team that was okay and went down to Syracuse and beat him. So you have a guy like Kirk Herbstreit that's a winner, that knows the game, that motivates people. It was a recipe for success.
Chris Sanders is with us, forever Titans wide receiver. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about your Friday night. Pretty big one West End, Innsworth and NBA. Tim Hasselbeck, our friend, obviously the head coach at Innsworth now, and his brother Matt, the OC. So NFL alums battling as coaches. But that's going to be a fun one tonight, Chris.
It's going to be interesting. Don't forget about Ben Jones, the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans former center for the Tennessee Titans. He's going to be there. You better believe when we come out and play Innsworth, they're going to be well coached. They're gonna fight, and they're gonna be smart players. So we gotta go out and just do our job. And you know, we got a freshman quarterback that's actually starting this game, who's about 5'6", but he has a heart that is 6'9". So you know, we got our work cut out for us. We know we're gonna have to play four quarters. We know that's kind of cliche-ish, but we just gotta go out there and play four quarters of football, be physical, know what we're doing, and take advantage of their defense.
Are you the only NFL alum on your staff?
Yes, there's a couple of guys that play college football, like our offensive line coach, Coach Barkley. He played at Ball State, and you know, Coach Uberard played at MTSU. So not any other pro guys.
By the way, you need to give my man Sean Brock a hello.
Oh,
he was at FRA, man. When I was there.
Yeah, so. FRA. Hey, they got a squad too, man.
Yeah, they do.
They got some dudes over there.
Yeah, they
do. Yes, sir.
So, but I mean, look, I know that, you know, for you as coaches and everything, to feel that crowd, to feel that energy tonight is going to be special.
You know, can I reverberate to last week? And I'm not, you know, picking a dead horse. When you talk about the pureness of high school football, last week when we played Pearl Cone, who's a great school and great coach at Brunetti. But look, just check out this scenario. We have our starting quarterback that's 6'6", get hurt and break his collarbone. Ugh. Then all of a sudden you have a kid that's 5'3", that comes in, never played a snap of football. He's a true freshman. And to watch him not panic and go and run on the first play when he gets in there, he runs the wrong play and scores a 46-yard touchdown. And then and then you know, we have to have the drive to win, and we get sacked on the first play, and then he throws two crucial passes on fourth down. And then on the flip side, we get ready to kick the field goal that's 53 yards, and we ask the kicker, do you think you can make it? He's like, well, I don't know.
So I'll try.
So many things. I don't know. But then the kid gets up there, and here's the great part about it. The whole practice of last week, he was shanking them, and he was kicking them on the baseball field. So when he gets in, the crucial time, the team is dependent on him. He kicks a 53-yarder, and the crowd runs on the field. Oh. And that's what I love about stinking high school football. Nobody got the glory. Nobody gloated. We just said, this is what it's all about kids developing.
I love it. I love it. By the way, the quarterback lost 3 inches in that conversation from 5'6 to 5'3. So maybe he's 5'9. Hey, let me ask you this. We had the head coach on from Eastern Kentucky yesterday. They're playing Mississippi State, like lower school, playing SEC school. And we talked about, like you and I have, Chris, about opportunities. Yes. Now, these guys at Eastern Kentucky think they belong in the SEC. Yes. Here's an opportunity to show you belong there. Do you preach opportunities to your boys?
Absolutely. Because the thing about it is when you have an opportunity, you got to seize the opportunity because that opportunity may not come around. So when you have the opportunity to showcase your skill or prove that you belong, you really have to take advantage of it. Now, we can say all that talk and it's an opportunity and this is great, but you got to go out there and show it. You can't just say, well, it's a great opportunity. Let's win one for the Gipper. That's not going to work. You can say it. You can say it, but you got to go out there and do it. So that's how I kind of look at it in that situation.
You know, it's funny. All the coaches I had have always been like, you know, hey, you play as you practice. You play as you practice. That is so true. I mean, if you practice terrible during the week, you're terrible on Saturday. It is so true, and it's so hard to get through the heads of young people, and maybe one day it will, man. But that's if you practice like you play.
Yeah, you have to practice because the thing about it is if you don't practice well, if you don't practice, you're creating bad habits. If you have a bad habit in practice, you're going to get in the game and do the exact same thing. Just say if I'm a cornerback and we're playing cover three and I don't play my third and I'm kind of lackadaisical and all of a sudden they run the post and they take the top off the defense and they score. You don't just hurt yourself, you're hurting the team. So that's what we stress. We might not be the fastest, the biggest, the strongest, but we're going to create a culture of running through people's lists. We're going to create a culture to finish in place. We're going to create a culture to say, you know what, even though you're bigger than me and stronger than me, I practice well, so that puts me in position to have the opportunity to run through your face. That's how we handle it.
Love it. Chris, appreciate it as always. Good luck tonight.
Appreciate you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Love you. Love you guys. Anchor down. Let's go,
you too.
Bandy.
You too, Chris Sanders. Forever Titans wide receiver joining us on the show.